Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the Writer's Lounge. This is show number 63. It's February 3rd, 2014, and this is, once again, the Writer's Lounge. This is a show where we showcase new authors, and I am your host, Tom Riddell, and joining us in a couple minutes will be my co-host, my guest co-host, and it would be Lisa Lee. And then let's get on and talk a little bit about the brief intro to today's show. We're going to have in Darlene Frederick. And she wrote the novel, Queen of My Immortal Heart. She'll be on with us shortly, and I see that she's already in the queue, ready to go. They'll be around 15 minutes after the hour here in the Writer's Lounge. You can find us on the Writer's Lounge over at tomriddell.com/blog. And over there, you can read all the reviews and look for us in the upper left-hand corner. That would be on the Blog Talk Radio player. You can click on any author name on that player, and you can listen to the entire interview as we do it here on the Writer's Lounge. Also, be aware that we do have archives, and we get on into the archives, and you can listen to any of the 63 shows that we've done here on the Writer's Lounge. Facebook, of course, go search for us there and find us on Facebook, and please like us. Our numbers continue to go up. And, of course, we're also on Twitter, so follow us over on Twitter. You can contact us if you'd like, the old-fashioned way, at the email at twl11@yahoo.com. And upcoming guest authors would be the next show in 2 weeks. We're going to have on Shwanda Pugh, and she was on once before with the Crimson Footprints book that she wrote. She's come out with number 2. And it's called New Beginnings, and really looking forward to that. So join us in 2 weeks for that. And our promoter for this month on the Writer's Lounge is Magic Pen Web Design. It offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. Get on over there to magicpenwebdesign.com, fill out the free estimate form, and let Magic Pen help you to sell that next book with a website design that works its magic for you. And, of course, another promotion that we do, not just our sponsors here in the Writer's Lounge, but also TWL book promotions have been going very well over at the Facebook site. So go to our Facebook page. It would be facebook.com/pages/The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors, and find out what you need to do to promote your book on our show. And with that, my guest co-host Lisa Lee will read the promotion for the book that we have this week. Go ahead, Lisa.
Get the glasses on.
Valentine Terror Tales, Scary Stories of Dark Romance by Kevin Folliard. Presented as a romantic precaution, these 14 frightening tales of love gone awry will put the chill on any date night, from demons and monsters to criminals and creepy crawlies. Nothing is deadlier than the human heart. For all of those moments of relationship woe, These stories of treachery, mistrust, and blind passion will remind readers of all ages that singlehood is safety. Oh, isn't that true? Valentine Terror Tales, Scary Stories of Dark Romance by Kevin Folliard.
And I had you read that because every time I try to read Valentine Terror Tales, I get tripped up for some reason. And all of his books, all of Kevin's books, has that little slip up that you can very easily do with your tongue. So my tongue gets all tied up with those things. So thank you so much, Lisa. And with that, what's new in your world besides jumping over here from your Cityspell show that you just did?
Yeah, I just finished shooting.
Shooting? Oh, you're doing video now, a TV program.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so I've got Coca-Cola.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're all wired up.
So yeah, so I'm a little bouncy.
Well, that's good. Kind of like your daughter.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. Lots of sugar.
Lots of sugar.
Yeah.
I don't usually do sugar. I did
well,
a lot
you're
of
doing,
sugar.
Your eyes are like popping under your head right now.
So, yeah, we just finished doing Tuesday and Wednesday's Cityspell show, which plays on the Jackalope Radio Network on Tuesdays. It's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Wednesdays it is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we are all about empowering people and giving them the tools to make it through this crazy world.
And this isn't just about witches.
No.
It's about everybody.
Everybody.
Yep.
Yes, we are witches.
Yep, you certainly are.
But.
Okay, I think I stopped her in her tracks there. She's a cute witch. She doesn't have the long nose with a wart on it, and she doesn't fly a broom. In fact, I don't think you have much to fly. You don't drive much, and you don't fly brooms. You're a grounded witch.
I'm totally a grounded witch. I have a broken foot.
Yeah, exactly. So, what else is happening? I know that you manage the Mount Cedar down here in St. Paul. Is there anything happening down there, or are you pretty much?
Yeah, we've got the Empower Emporium, which is coming up on the 22nd of February,
mm-hmm.
and that's like a metaphysical expo, New Age, holistic healing. We've got cool vendors with every kind of artisan, anything you could ever want to see. We've got palm readers and tarot readers. I may do tea leaves.
Oh. Have you ever done tea leaves before?
Yep, and we've
practiced. Oh, that's it. Gonna practice tea leaves on me. That sounds like a lot of fun. That'll be fun.
Although the tea that I bought today, that was just purely for drinking. That wasn't for reading tea leaves.
And there's another tea in your life.
Teresa Savina. Teresa Savina. She is my co-host, my partner.
I really like the way that sounds.
I know. Doesn't she have a
Yeah, it does.
Teresa Savina.
So I understand that they're listening.
They are. All of the girls at the Cityspell Show are listening right now.
Very nice.
So, hi, ladies.
Welcome to the Writer's Lounge.
I know. I haven't talked to you for like 4 minutes.
So, and then, of course, we have to talk about you're doing a special project fundraiser here coming up at the 1st of March.
Terrifying.
Can you tell us about that experiment?
Yes. Teresa is putting me in a pink and purple sparkly tutu with a witch's hat, our show logo t-shirt, stripy socks, and we're jumping in Lake Calhoun.
And there's going to be a lot of pictures.
There's going to be video. There's going to be pictures. It's going to be horrifying.
So let me ask you, Lake Calhoun, which is located here in Minnesota, I know that, but I also know that in Minnesota we have had below zero temperatures. So
why do we live here?
I don't know. Let's go to Honolulu. Yeah, see? We're connecting. I want to ask, though, if you're going to jump in the lake, doesn't there have to be a hole in the ice?
Yes.
So how's that going to work? Who's gonna punch a hole in the ice?
Very attractive police officers.
Oh, really? Oh, and they're going to be in the water waiting for you when you jump in?
I'll be like, catch me. I have a broken foot.
You have a broken foot.
Even if I need mouth-to-mouth, even if I don't need mouth-to-mouth, you can practice on me.
There you go. A witch who is broken and needs mouth-to-mouth.
Yes. But we're doing it for Special Olympics. So it's a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa said that if she makes her goal, which is $400, she will shave her head.
She's going to shave her head?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
And I dreamt about that a few days ago. I think that's really funny. Yeah. So I have a feeling she's going to be shaving her head.
So if everybody out there, and I mean everybody that's listening to the show, which we run usually a couple thousand every couple of weeks because we do listen, people do listen to our archives. So if we're talking to those people out there listening, where can they donate?
If they go to our Facebook fan page, Cytispell Show, it's facebook.com/Cytispell Show. I've got links all over the place on there where they can donate, and there will be pictures, and it will be humiliating.
It'll be fun. Be lots of fun. And I wish I could join you for that day, but I will be working, unfortunately, so at my other job, so I won't be able to make it. But I understand that there's going to be some males there who are also supposedly going to be wearing tutus.
Yes, we have some men on our team now, too.
So just seeing a man in a tutu, I think, is worth the trip and worth the money to donate.
Oh, yeah.
Along with T shaving her head, you're seeing men in tutus. That's just going to be just too much.
We wanted to make it fun.
Too much.
Too.
There you go. Here we go.
Okay.
We're really doing well. Okay, let's see. If you'd like to call the Writer's Lounge and talk to our guest author, which was once again Darlene Frederick, and she wrote Queen of My Immortal Heart, you can do that at 626-213-5613, or if you don't have the money to spend on the long-distance call, you can call us toll-free at 877-878-1436. And get on in here. We're not the only ones that are going to be asking the questions and comments. Of course, you can do that too. So take advantage of that. Don't be shy. I know there's a lot of people that sit around and listen to the show, and we love that, and they respond to us on Facebook, but get on in here and start asking questions and leaving comments to our authors. They really would appreciate it. And it gives me a break, too, from the questions that we ask, because it isn't just all about us. It's about you guys out there, too, who are hopefully going to be the readers of these books and paying attention to these authors. And let's see here, Lisa. We got a few minutes left here. I think probably what I'm going to do is go ahead and get on with the review here that I did of Darlene's book, and we'll probably bring her on a little earlier than we normally do. So I know, Darlene, you're out there patiently waiting to get on the show, and after I do my review here of your book, we will bring you on. So the book, once again, is Queen of My Immortal Heart. It was written by Darlene Frederick and published by Excelbris in 2013. You may purchase it, of course, over at Amazon.com/Kindle, and you can visit the author on Facebook. What I had to say about it was, will a deep love shared between Luke, a handsome werewolf, and Nicole, a beautiful vampire, stand the test of time after being separated for over three centuries? Will Luke and Nicole be able to defeat the evil ones who are pitted against them, adversaries who are relentless in their attempts at driving them apart? You will find out in this steamy erotic story that has all the fascination and excitement that is required for a good page-turner. I enjoyed this first book by author Darlene Frederick. Her expertly detailed descriptions of place and actions are a strong testament to her writing abilities, and this enhances and helps the characters' personalities to flow nicely in this one. The only ingredient that I see a bit lacking in this story is not enough conflict in the middle of the tale. Otherwise, this is a good first book by the author, and I will definitely look forward to future works by Darlene Frederick. And with that, let's bring Darlene on all the way from sunny, I believe. It's always sunny in San Diego. Darlene, are you there?
I am.
Oh, great. For a second there, I didn't think we had you, and it's a little bit of nervousness when we get some dead air, but there you are. And is it sunny there in San Diego?
It's actually a little bit overcast. We had rain this morning, but now the sun's coming out, and it is pretty.
Oh, it's great. And what's the temperature?
Actually, today it's only 62 degrees.
Oh, only 62 degrees.
Like 62 below here.
Yeah, so we're sitting here, two people who are depleted of sunshine and warmth and talking about Honolulu, which means that you're closer to Honolulu than we are. So welcome to the Writer's Lounge, Darlene. I know that you and I have exchanged some comments on Facebook and really appreciate that and your support of the show. And once again, loved your book. I know you're a first-time author, and I know that you're pretty excited about this whole process. And if I can get my paperwork together here, I will ask you to read an excerpt from your book. Could you do that for us?
I sure can.
Yeah, she finds the page.
Is there any particular part you'd like me to read from, or just whichever?
No, whatever works for you, Darlene.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Tom.
Go ahead.
Nicole was being crowned today. Had it been that long already? The last time he'd seen his beloved Nicole, she was a skinny teen but beautiful. He had had to leave her quickly the night he was about to ask her to marry him and had never returned. He could still remember her response to his last words to her, though. I love you, my dear Luke, werewolf beast of my immortal heart. Just give me a second. Come back to me and I'll be with you forever. She had put a gold chain around his neck, which he still wore to this night, and like his memories and love for her, it had never tarnished or faded. That had been over 2 centuries ago. Surely she had met and married someone else by now. Some handsome young vampires who ruled by her side. He made a face. What did a vampire have that he didn't?
Okay. So, Darlene, this book that you wrote, and you being a writer, who and what inspired you to be a writer?
Really, I've been writing my entire life, and I did really well in school with writing, you know, stories and things like that, and my teachers all encouraged me that if I kept pursuing it one day, this is where I could go, and my parents always encouraged me that if this is something I was interested in, then, you know, pursue it, and of course, life, you know, gets in the way sometimes, and we tend to put our dreams on the back burner, but I chose to still keep chasing it, and this is where I am now.
Yeah, I can appreciate being recognized by your teachers. I had written a story in seventh grade, and my instructor was very impressed with the story. I still remember the name of it. It was called The Halls of a School. It was a spooky story, and he wanted me to read it in front of the class, and I wouldn't do that. I'm petrified of public speaking. Believe it or not, here I am on the radio, but I am petrified of getting up in front of a large group of people to read. So he read it for me, and everybody loved it. Now I ask you, when they brought you to the attention of everybody as being a writer, did you have to get up in front of the class and read your works?
I never did have to get up in front of my class, which would have been much better for me. But one story that I wrote, it was my senior year. It was one of our final papers over whichever book we chose, and I chose War and Peace. My teacher was so impressed with the work that I did that she sent it to the state regional competition, and I won, so I had to go to Little Rock, Arkansas, and I had to speak in front of 800 people,
people,
and read my paper as the senior, you know, paper, and I actually won a prize for that paper.
Wow. That's really cool. That's well far beyond what I would have ever considered doing. 800 people in the room, I would have melted up on the stage. So anyway, before you came on, I asked everybody to call us with the two numbers that I gave earlier, and it looks like somebody has already done that. So it looks like somebody from your area code. Would this be your mother or your brother or your husband? I'll find.
Wouldn't be my mother or my brother.
Okay, I will find out who this is right now. You are in the Writer's Lounge. You have a question or comment for Darlene.
Hello?
Hello, go ahead. You're on the writer's lounge.
Oh, my gosh. I'm Helen. I'm Darlene's best friend.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Helen, what, you know, have you been able to read some of her works after she got done writing it?
I have read both books before they ever went to print.
And what did you think?
Well, for starters, first off, we have to know that I'm not a reader. I don't like to read books. I don't have time to do so. But being the friend, I was like, okay, I'm going to read this book. I'm going to get through it. And then once I got past, like, a couple of them weird French words that she uses in there, that I was had to get in the car, drive over to her house,
ring
the doorbell, and be like, okay, what does this say?
Those are Italian, not French.
Same difference, if you ask me. I support her. I love the books. I read in spurts. Like I'll read probably a page or two and have to get up and go tend a kid or go cook something, clean something. So the books are kind of sporadic, and I don't really have time to do a lot of reading, but I love what she has written, and I love the storyline, and all those years have gone by, and they still love one another, and it's fantastic.
Cool. How long have you been friends with Darlene?
Oh, goodness.
Almost 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know her fairly well.
Yes, I know her very well.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm sorry. I was asking you a lot of questions. What's your question or comment for Darlene?
My comment is that you're fantastic. I love you to pieces. You are doing a fantastic job, and I am so very proud of you. And all of this all started with just I want to write a book and see where it goes with no way of have financially figuring out how to get it from out of your head onto the computer and from the computer into the very book that we hold in our hands and are discussing at this moment, all by recycling.
Exactly.
Very good, Helen.
If it had not been for Helen, this book would not be where it is today.
Oh, very, very nice. It's good to always have a friend like that helps you along with your writing. I know it's very intimidating sometimes to write something and then finally have it together and then decide, who am I going to let read? In fact, that was one of the questions I was going to ask a little bit later on. Well, it looks like we've got the answer to that question. And Helen, thank you so much for being on the Writer's Lounge, and I'm going to let you go here. And thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. And, Darlene, it seems that you're a very popular person because now we have somebody else on the phone, and let's go to that person from area code 443. You're on the Writer's Lounge with Darlene Frederick and Tom and Lisa. What's your comment or question?
My comment is that I've known Darlene for several years now, and she is my best friend from when we lived in Virginia Beach, and she started writing this book back when we were all hanging out before we both moved, and I just love her, and I'm so supportive and so excited and happy for her that she finally got it done. I read the book, and it's amazing, and I cannot wait until I can get a chance to read the second one and the third one that's coming out.
Very good. What's your name again?
Carrie,
thank you so much for coming on the Writer's Lounge and talking to your best friend.
Thank you. Love you, Darlene.
Love you too. Carrie and her teenage daughters actually came up with Nicoletta's name and some of the other characters I have in there.
Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, That's really cool, and that sometimes is what a lot of writers do when they're picking out names and picking out characters. They usually take from what's around them, friends and family and themselves even. which leads me to the next question. Can you tell us how Queen of My Immortal Heart first took shape in your mind, and how did you begin to get it down onto the page?
Well, it actually kind of started in my head as I'm really big into that genre. I love Carolyn Sparks, Lindsay Sand. Those authors have amazing books, and that whole genre has been just I can't stop reading them. I'll stay up all night to read those books. And I love their work that, for me, even though their works are amazing, there was another way of telling it. There was another way of saying it. You know, there was always that edge that nobody was, it seemed like nobody was willing to go to that edge.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, nobody's ever going to read it. It's just my thoughts. So let me see what I can do. And so I called and spoke to a couple of friends of mine and said, hey, you know, I'm planning on doing this. What do you think? And they said, oh, well, that sounds pretty cool and stuff like that. And I just went and I had free time when I could get around to it. I wrote little bits here and there and stuff, but I had never, ever in my life had any aspiration of it ever leaving my laptop until, as you heard, Helen came around when she read it and stuff. She said, oh, no, you don't. This is going to get published. And This is where I am now.
That's cool. Lisa, you got something?
Yeah, in the story you bring together a love interest between a werewolf and a vampire. Did you encounter any conflicts along the way that might have hindered the relationship, given who and what they are?
Not really, because that was, you know, that was the point here, is that in movies, in books, in different things that we've seen in modern society here and things, it's always one against the other. They're longtime enemies. It's always been a conflict or a problem or something. And I wanted to tell a story that was going to prove that that's not the case. You can't help who you fall in love with. It just happens. And it doesn't matter whether they're a werewolf, a vampire, or in our world, you know, male, female, black, white. It doesn't matter. You cannot help who you fall in love with, and you just want to be accepted for the person you've chosen in your life. And that's the whole basis of this story.
And I think the conflict is interesting, too, because you're dealing with, in this case, kind of like two different cultures between werewolves and vampires, and you're sort of bringing those two cultures together. And sometimes it's hard to mix those, like you would try to mix water and oil. They just don't sometimes mix. But therein lies the conflict, and therein lies a good story. And I think you did really well with this one.
Thank you.
Many authors, as we were talking about, you know, a little bit about characters, will pattern a character after themselves or someone they know, as we just talked about. Did you do much of any of that in this tale? I know you mentioned your friends there, but did you inject some of your personality into the characters or anybody else?
I did. I actually injected some of my personality into two of my characters. One with Nicoletta for her strength and her compassion and her love, just the way that she feels that, you know, once you're in my heart, you're there forever. You know, that's just how I am. I don't let go very easily unless you have done something to seriously hurt me. And I also injected a little bit of myself into the character Tawny, the nurse, because that woman reminded me, that character was a whole lot like my mother. You know, she couldn't stay angry for very long. You know, she was quick to smile, quick to laugh. They always told you when you were being slow or things like that. And so I took a lot of my character with, you know, I took a lot of my personality and put it into Nicole. I took a lot of my mom's personality and put it into Tawny for that relationship.
Yeah, like when she was getting ready to be married, she was doubting over her, and it was kind of nice. And that's the way I kind of envisioned her, as being the motherly type. And it was sort of interesting, since Nicole is a vampire, and how that all works. But that was very good. How did you get in the mood, and where do you usually go to write your stories?
Honestly, when I have something in my mind, I will obviously say it to myself in my mind, and I'll play it out, you know, and like, that would sound really good. And then now that both of my kids are in school, you know, I do have time to myself, beside the other obligations that I do have. But I do have some time to myself that when I get that idea, I sit down and I don't want the TV on. I don't want any background distractions and stuff. I will turn on, I'm a big Kenny G fan. I don't want to listen to words or anything that's going to distract me. So I will turn on Kenny G music really low and quiet, and I will just work. And sometimes I completely lose track of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, music usually works for me, too. If I'm writing, I want to be alone, and I turn the music on kind of low, like you were saying, too. There's just something about it just kind of soothes the mind and gets your flow going. It works for me really well. Just about any kind of music does, except for the, you know, high intensity stuff. But that's always interesting. And then, where did you say you go when you write?
Most of the time, I'm sitting in my living room. But when I for this book, I have, you know, I had my desk set up and everything like that. So for this book, I spent a lot of time with a glass of wine over in my own little corner at my desk, you know, working over there. It was for the second book that I actually branched out around the house. I can take my laptop to, you know, the couch. I can take my laptop outside. I even worked on my second book at my mother's house right before her birthday party.
You see, Lisa's eyes popped open when you said wine. She likes wine, although she's getting sort of away from wine now. She goes more with Coke these days.
Coca-Cola, not Coke.
Coke, that's right. Coca-Cola, that's right. We want to make sure we're not doing anything illegal on the program here, right?
A glass of Moscato works wonders when you're trying to write.
Yeah. I have several writing friends who drink a number of different items when they're trying to write. Now, alcohol is usually right up there with the best of them, I would imagine. I don't know what that does to the writing process, but it must work, because there's a lot of writers in the past, a lot of authors in the past. I think Hemingway was big in the alcohol, too, as he wrote. So, yeah, so we like to get drunk when we write. but it's fun. I just have to read your writing after you've written drunk. So
you take a lot of editing after the fact.
Yeah.
Lots of editing.
Yeah. Lisa, do you have a question?
Many authors have a process that they follow during and after they're done writing. After you're done with your first draft, can you tell us how you felt and what happens after that?
Well, as soon as it was complete and I sat back from the laptop and I looked and it was like, it was this many pages and it was done. It was like, really? I just completed a novel here. It was something that, you know, an idea I just came up with, and now it's a novel, you know, holy crap. And then I realized, you know, okay, so there's a ton of mistakes, you know, obviously, because I was just trying to get it out of my head and get it down. So then I went back, and I didn't want to pay somebody else money to professionally edit my book or anything like that when I, you know, I know how to do all of it. So I literally sat there on my laptop as if though I were reading, you know, a novel, and I went word by word, by phrase, by punctuation mark and stuff. And yes, there are still some mistakes that I skip. I'll admit that completely. But it was my first book, and I will edit it myself. And I will go over it. Actually, the draft that is now in published, that actually is the seventh revision of that book that started out on my laptop.
Yeah.
You may have already answered this, but how long did it take you to write your book?
It
I might have missed
years.
It.
And that's through all the edits. You said you did seven edits?
Yes. It was over a two-year process, but that was because my husband is in the military, he's in the United States Navy, and we were moving from Virginia Beach, Virginia to San Diego, California. So obviously with the move and packing and things, the book did kind of get pushed into the back corner. And then once we got here and got settled and I got my kids back into school and things, I was going through my laptop, going through my files and realized, oh, I still have this. And I've had like a ton of good ideas. So I picked it right back up. And after everything else and things, yes, it's been almost 2 years to the day that I started writing it.
Well, you touched on something earlier when you were talking about editing and re-editing your book, and you go through and you start reading what you've written, almost like you're stepping outside of the writer and more into the reader's mind as somebody that, you know, that you, once again, you're separating yourself from who you are as a writer to being somebody else, which is difficult for me to do. I try to do it with writing that I've written in my novel that still hasn't been published, but I find it rather difficult to do that because I'm too critical, too self-critical of my writing. I can't seem to do that. So did you have a problem with that as far as not just the punctuation and all that that you do in editing, but in actually reading the story? Did you have any problem with that?
No, not really, because I have been such an avid reader my entire life that it is easier for me to be in the reader's role, to look at a story with a not quite a critical eye, but to just look at a story and read it for what it is, what I see, and from a writer's perspective, you know, is this a good book or is this, you know, something that I've read it once, I'm never going to pick this back up again. And yes, I was a little bit more critical of myself. My main thing is my pet peeves, which I will still find it. You know, you have Carolyn Sparks or Lindsay Sands, as I mentioned before, who have been writing for years, you know, almost a couple of decades now. And I'll go through their books sometimes, and I still find punctuation or words that are misspelled or out of place and stuff. And it's a little pet peeve with me. I don't like that. It bothers me. But I'm glad that I was not only able to see it, you know, in other people's writings as a reader, but able to see it in my writing, not only as the reader, but as the author, and go, okay, I need to fix that, but I'm not going to let it stop me. I still need to read this story.
Sure.
Because I wanted to act like the reader. I wanted to act like I had no power to fix it.
Yeah. I also find it interesting when you're reading your own works that sometimes you'll come across a passage that you've written and go, oh, my God, I wrote that? Meaning, this is really good. Or, you know, there's the other side of it. This is really bad. But I find myself kind of giggling at myself because I'm reading my own work going, that was really clever. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I actually had that with my book. I had, when I was reading through it, there were a couple of parts that was just like, I typed that Y. So what was the point of that? That was a little bit redundant. So I would go back and fix it. And even now, you know, after doing book two, I'm working on book three now. I will go back and read the first one for references purposes to make sure I keep the storyline straight. I don't get anybody's name spelled wrong or anything. And I'll go back and read it and go, that was cool. I'm glad I wrote that because that's pretty funny. You know, or just, oh, that was clever. When did I come up with that? How did I come up with that? It's one of those things.
Yeah.
You're adorable.
yeah. Lisa thinks you're adorable.
Thank you.
All right, so a topic that is near and dear to my heart. Tell me about your approach to marketing and selling your book.
Well, that was a little bit tricky because, as I said, I knew nothing about this. I never planned on it leaving my laptop. So I did a lot of research. I took it as, you know, I looked into, obviously, you know, the big publishing companies, Harper, Collins, and all that kind of stuff. And what I found out by looking at these places is that they don't take what they call unsolicited writing. You know, you basically have to do self-publishing and get a fan base out there and let these companies see you and then possibly go with them picking you up. Or you have to have an agent, which at the time I couldn't afford an agent either. So based on reviews and everything else, that's how I came up with wanting to publish with Exlibris. They had the best price, they had the best royalties, and they had the best customer service rating.
You know, I was just reading just the other day about how much easier it is now to self-publish. Even
3-4 years ago, it wasn't that easy, and now it's just getting easier and easier. And like you said, the royalties are so much better now. The split is way better than it ever was. In fact, in many ways, an author is going to make more if they do self-publish, as far as making money off of your book.
And not only that, because you're spending money for editors to edit your book also. And in the almost 2.5 years that we've been doing the show, we've encountered a lot of authors who have run up against some publishers who have not really done the job for them. Also, you'd mentioned agents. I know a story. Once again, this is about you tonight, not about me, but my deceased ex-wife, was with an agent who treated her very badly. He told her that she got her a contract with a major publisher in New York, and my wife ended up finding out a while later that this was simply not true. After all that time and effort and a heartbreak that she went through to try to get her story out there, then she ran up against somebody that was playing games with her. And it's not like she was paying money to this agent. She wasn't, but she had drawn up a contract. So I think that what Lisa just touched on about making a better run of it with self-publishing is probably where a lot of these first-time authors like yourself would find more success in than looking around for a publisher and all that. But what you have going for you, Darlene, is that you're able to edit your writing as far as the grammar aspect of it, and a lot of writers just simply don't have those skills.
Right. Well, and that was, you know, that was another thing is that, you know, now obviously if you go, another thing that I looked at too that bothered me was when you go with a professional publishing company, they basically write up a contract with you. They give you an advance. You get royalties off your book, but they own your book. You know, if they choose to, whatever cover they choose, you know, all that kind of stuff, that all belongs to them. And I didn't like that idea. This is something I spent 2 years of my life working on. This is something that came from my heart and stuff. And I, quite frankly, didn't want it going, you know, being used for anybody else's purposes. So I actually even bought the U.S. copyright on both of my books myself.
Wow.
Before I even sent them anywhere.
Tell us about the cover of your book. How did you decide and what the cover was going to look like? How much work went into that process?
I went into the process of the cover. I didn't want a cover like so many other, like your typical run-of-the-mill romance novels. I didn't want a cover that had, you know, a steamy picture on the front of it or something like that. I wanted something that didn't. Yeah, you didn't really know what you were getting into. You know, you could read the back of it, you know, and get you sucked in, but you really didn't know what you were getting into. And for me, of course, I took that picture myself on my cell phone out here in San Diego at La Jolla Cove, Seal Beach.
I've been there.
Me
I've
too.
Been there. Yeah. You've been there too, Lisa?
Yep.
Yeah.
Love it there.
And what it reminded me of when I looked at it was it reminded me of not only the smooth, tranquil aspect of my book with the love that is still burning between them and things, but it also, in the back, you can see the waves coming and stuff, so that also reminded me of the turbulence that they go through in the story to reach that smooth shore, to reach that smooth ending and stuff. They had to go through all of this, and that particular picture just caught it all for me, and that's what I wanted.
Oh, that's brilliant and beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very nice. Speaking of Facebook and also Twitter, do you spend a lot of time on Facebook and Twitter promoting your book? And what advice would you give to other writers out there in regards to that?
Facebook is a really good. I do not use Twitter. I don't know anything about it at all. But as far as Facebook goes, you know, for one thing, you do have to be careful because you just don't know who you're dealing with when you're out there. But Facebook is really good because when you create your own page, not only do you have full control over the editing process of that page and what can and cannot go on there, but, like, I invited Helen, I invited my family and friends, you know, I invited everybody to
be a part of that page, but when they liked the page, when they became a part of it, anybody and everybody who was on their friends list became a part of it. And the next thing I knew, you know, I looked at it one day, and, okay, I had 6 or 7, you know, likes on my page. I stepped away from it. I came back, and I looked, and I had over 43 people that liked my page. And, yeah, that 43 doesn't sound like a lot. But then again, I'm not a big-name person. I'm not, you know, I'm not E.L. James. I'm not, you know, Nicholas Sparks. I'm not any of those authors. I'm just little me living in California as a wife and mother who decided to write a book. So for me, 43 people liking my Facebook page, that's,
that's big.
I succeeded.
Yeah. Yeah,
I succeeded.
Yeah.
And the best advice I have ever received about that, you know, my best advice that I could give, excuse me, to young authors out there, pardon me, is when you publish, that's it. You've done it. You have accomplished your goals. Do not look into the bad reviews, because then you will psych yourself down. You will give up. And don't look too far into the good reviews. Take them as a compliment that they are, and be happy for what you've gotten. But don't read too far into those either, because then you can literally psych yourself up to think, I'm better than I really am, and you lose your edge as a writer.
Yeah, so, I know a lot of people will tell their friends and relatives to go in and do a review. And, of course, the friends and relatives more likely are going to give the authors 5 stars. But I've always said that I don't like to see that. I would rather see, like, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 stars and maybe 2 or 3 2-stars, because it gives me a better idea of the diversity of the readers in who's reading your book. It gives a little bit of credibility to the book itself. So I don't really like seeing when somebody's just, you know, loaded with 5 stars. I want to see something else.
And that's the same way I feel and stuff, because, I mean, when you write a book, it doesn't matter whether you're writing a fantasy, sci-fi. It doesn't matter what you're writing. You are writing something that means something to you, and it's something that you would want to pick up and read. You're not writing to please everybody in this world, and you can't. So if you have a book that has nothing but 5-star reviews and things like that, obviously most people probably didn't read that book. Most people probably just looked at the cover or looked at something like that and was like, ooh, this looks great. You know, they didn't actually read the story. You have a book that has those mixed reviews.
Yeah, or on the other end of it, there's people who have given 1-star reviews and haven't even read the book either. Those are the kind of reviews I really don't like. On my book, my memoir that I wrote, I've got a 1-star review, and I remember talking to my wife at the time about it. She said, well, why are you so upset? And I said, I'm not upset with getting a 1-star review. I'm upset because the person, I believe, I'm fairly certain, didn't take time to read the entire book. Now, my book is 700 pages long. So if I'm getting a 1-star review, I don't really think the guy is going to spend all that time reading 700 pages and decide it's a 1-star. You know, he could have been a little bit more generous, maybe giving me a 2 or possibly a 3. But when I saw that, I realized this guy is just out there trolling around and trying to make people look bad because they don't have a life. And I don't think that's fair. But there's not much that Amazon can do, and there's not much that authors can do in that regard. They can ask for a deletion, but that very rarely happens.
Right, and I, you know, for this first book, most of mine have been very decent reviews, and I'm very happy for that. But I have gotten one very negative review on this book, and basically I was called mediocre and not even worth being in print. Why did I waste the time? And yada, yada, yada. And it was just like, you know what? That's that person's personal opinion.
Absolutely.
I don't care what you think, because I did it. I did it. I published a book. That's it. Done. End of story. Published a book.
And you weren't even, like you said before, you weren't even planning on letting this book out. This book was for you, which,
this book was,
once again, you got it done.
I had no aspirations.
I would like to add in for the negative comments that are out there. You know, you created a book. What did they create?
A review.
That's nothing.
And a bad review. You know, a bad review.
But, I mean, what did they create? Nothing.
Yeah. And like with me, and I'm really impressed with the 63 books that I have reviewed, and I wouldn't think about this going into it. I would never imagine this, but there's only been just maybe a handful of authors that I couldn't give a three-star review to. They were more like a two, and then there was a one. And I won't review those books because I don't think it's fair to the author who's trying to build up the craft of writing. I don't think it's right to put it out there. It's better to just let them know that their book didn't, you know, meet my standards, and that they should do a little more editing with it, or maybe the story just didn't work for me. But I won't put out a two or three. Well, I'll put out a three, but I won't put out a two. So that's just the way I operate on the blog that I do and the reviews that I write. But out of those 62 books, like I said, the majority of them have been very well written. Of course, yours is right up there, Darlene. A very good first read and first attempt at a book. So that's really impressive. Okay, let's let everybody know once again, we've got about 8 minutes left here in the Writer's Lounge. Time flies by here. So if you'd like to get in a quick question or comment, you can call us at 626-213-5613 or toll free 877-878-1436. And the next question I have for you is, of course, getting away from books a little bit. What else do you do with your life? I know you don't just write. Any other hobbies or projects that you are involved with?
Like I said, I'm a stay-at-home mother. I have a 12-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 7-year-old, two boys and a girl. I'm really big into, you know, not just my first number one passion before writing was drawing. So I really do enjoy drawing. I keep up with my artwork a lot. I love to knit, crochet. I'm a very creative person. I spend a lot of time in my kitchen baking. Probably, Tom, as you've been able to see
yes.
on Facebook, I do a lot of work in the kitchen. I do volunteer work as well, and there's just all a whole bunch of different things that I touch on out there. But my passion is to actually, you know, be at home and to cook for my family and for, you know, writing for myself and drawing for, you know, pictures and things. The whole main reason for me to even do this in the first place was not only because of, you know, my friend Helen's encouragement, but my main reason for this was to show all three of my children that if this is your dream, if this is something that you're looking at, no matter whether it is writing a book or whatever you want to do with your life, look, you can. You don't have to let things stop you. It may not take as short a time as you chose, but you have a dream. You chase it. You do the hard work. You can accomplish it.
You know,
now they
you
have
just,
something to do.
Yeah, you just sounded like somebody else I know that she has her own radio program that at the end she says, what do you say, Lisa?
Take back your light.
Take back your light, darlings. Okay.
Yep.
And with that, we have one last phone call that we can take here. Very popular tonight, Darlene. And this is from area code 619. And area code 619, you're on the Writer's Lounge. You have a question or comment for Darlene.
I have a comment. This is Tamisha, and I wanted to basically say congratulations on her book. And I wanted to find out exactly when is book 3 going to be available.
Book 3 only has 3 chapters done, so probably another year and a half.
Okay. And I also wanted to find out, when am I getting my Oreo cupcakes, Miss Lady?
I'll get right on that, I promise.
Look, I know where you live.
Yes, you do. And I know where you work.
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations, Darlene. I love you so much, and then I'll see you soon.
All right, thank you, girl.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being on the Writer's Lounge. I just love that. You've gotten some really nice callers, and it's just great. I wish more authors would have as many callers as you've had tonight. Darlene, I just got a couple more minutes left here. Can you tell everybody where people would find you on the internet before we leave?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I have my books page is the Immortal Heart series by Darlene Frederick. I also have my own author page as well as you can buy my book at either Ex Libris or you can purchase it at Amazon. And both of them are now currently available, not only in the paperback format, but they are currently available in ebook format as well.
Very good. So with that, Darlene, we'll let you go. We'll see you around on Facebook. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully we'll have you back on again with that next book that you write. And it's been a wonderful interview. I think Lisa would agree that we've all had a good time here. We've learned a lot. And we wish you much success, Darlene. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's just adorable.
Yeah, she is. She is. And it's very exciting to have somebody like that on. And I know that we've had first-time authors on here before, and then we have them on again. And in the process of probably 9 months or so, some of the authors take off and become very popular. And that reminds me of our next show, Shawanda Pugh, who wrote the Crimson Footprint series, is one of those authors who have just really taken off. So well is she at writing that USA Today has actually reviewed her books, and she's written three. And so we will have her on next time. So it's really amazing that we are able to do that. So Lisa, do you have any parting words while I look for the closing music here?
Take back your light.
Take back your life, she says. And once again, everybody, thank you for being on the Writer's Lounge. We'll look for you next time. And let the story begin. Talk to you next time.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Morn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather.